Welcome to Life Point Church. How many of you are glad you got up this morning? How many of you are not? Don't even raise your hand. My kid's raising his hand. He didn't want to get out of bed. We're glad you're here. Families, moms, grandmoms, aunts, best friends, women, welcome to Life Point Church. We're so glad you're here. And I'm just going to share a couple of things real fast. Some things that are going on. And then we have a couple of special presentations to make this morning. And some stuff. First of all, guests and visitors, we especially want to welcome you. If you're a guest or visitor this morning, there's probably a card on the seat back in front of you, and we would ask that you would just fill that out and put it in the offering when it comes by. That way we just get to know you a little bit and get to experience life together, amen, and all the good things and the tough times we go through. I believe in the body of Christ, amen, that we can lock arms as brothers and sisters and win the battle. How about it? You with me? First of all, let me just say this. For anyone who served the homeless ministry yesterday, you came here Friday to help cook, or you went over yesterday and served homeless. They had a service over there, served food, gave out some stuff. Thank you very much. Thank you for being a part of that. We appreciate it. Also, coming up is the men's breakfast on Saturday, May the 19th at 8:30. So men, come on out. Let's fellowship together, eat some breakfast. Don't our team does a real good job of cooking breakfast here every Sunday morning, it seems like, right? And we appreciate all the work they do over there. And so men especially, we want to invite you out to men's breakfast. And also we have our women's retreat May the 25th and May 25th and 26th right here. Women, come. You're going to be filled, refreshed, fed. You're going to have a great time. We're going to give you some details in the next couple of weeks. Miss Patricia's putting all that together. It's a 2.5-day event, so it's a good time to get. How many of you moms out there have kids? You just like to say, I'm going to go away for the weekend. This might be your chance, okay? This might be your chance, just so you know. Finally, we want to talk about Summer Camp 2018. Pastor Destiny is putting it together with the youth group. They're coming. On Wednesday nights, they've signed up. I don't know how many applications we have for camp, but we want to fill a bus of students from this church and send them to summer camp this year. If you have a kid that you want to send, see Destiny, and she'll give you the information. We're getting close, though. It's like filling up. It's like Wednesday's the date. We got to get it in. We got to get $200 a kid, and we got to get a way to send them up there. And we're hoping like a... we're hoping for a charter bus, you know what I'm saying, something nice, or we can rent something cheap and send them anyway. I don't care how we get them there. I just want to get them there. But let me tell you, camp's huge. It's an opportunity. Think about this, parents. Think about this, grandparents. It's an opportunity for us to get our kids away from television, away from technology for a week, okay, away from you. That might help some of these kids. I don't know. Just in a place with all kids, man, it's a few hundred kids up there. They have a blast. But really, it's to create an atmosphere for a young person to experience the Holy Spirit. And, man, that's a gift that we can give our young people, that we owe it to them. If we've received from the Lord, we owe it to the next generation. And so let's work hard to make camp a great experience this summer and get kids in. If you'd like to sponsor someone, you can put it in the offering, just a sponsorship. And we don't want to have to turn away any young person for camp. Amen? Having said that, I'm going to ask the ushers to come on up, and we're going to take up our tithes and offering this morning. And I know some of you give online. That's good. Some of you like to put hard cash in the bag. Whatever. Whatever you do, man, just be faithful in your giving. Amen? I say it every week, and I'll probably say it every week wherever I'm at. The church doesn't need your tithe as much as you need to tithe. Okay? The church needs your tithe, don't misunderstand, but I'm telling you, for your personal journey with God, when you give, the Bible says 10%. I've heard people argue it, try to outgive it, and try to think if you give more, you give. It's not like that with God. When God set the standard, he said 10%. Well, what's 10%? Well, if I have a dollar, I give 10%. It's 10%. This is the only place in the scripture God says, test me. How many of you ever struggled with your finances? Raise your hand in here. Everybody raise your hand. That's all of us. I get it. I struggle too. But God said, and God always takes me, he said, test me and see if I'm not faithful. See if I'm not faithful to open the storehouses of heaven and pour out a blessing on you cannot contain. And then see, will I not rebuke the devourer out of your life? Now, I'm going to tell you what. I've been blessed with many things in my life, but there's nothing like having that devourer taken out of my life. That thing that comes and eats and steals and robs us from joy and all that. I don't want that thing anywhere around me. Are y'all with me? We're going to, in the next couple of months, we're going to talk about some giving principles, but I want you to be blessed, okay? You understand where I'm coming from? I want you to have all that God has for you. So let's pray over this offering this morning. I just encourage you to be faithful. Father, in Jesus' name, you've taught us through your word. You lead us by your Holy Spirit to this moment that is still a part of our worship. This moment that we still have the opportunity to say, we trust you, Lord. We want the best that you have for us, Lord. But in every area, we must be found obedient and faithful. And God, help us this morning. Help those that are struggling, God, in this area. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, God bless you as you give. Well, we got a couple of things we're going to do this morning. And I'm going to start by saying this. Like, have you, there are some things that happen in your life. It might be by accident, okay? It might be by your aunt or your uncle or your granny doing something for you, and you think God, you know that God might have done it. Anybody with me? You have something happen. You say, oh, that might be God. It might be me. I'm pretty smart and talented. I don't know how you think about yourself, but you say, oh, that might be God. But there's some things that happen in your life, and without a shadow of a doubt, you look at it and say, that was God. My mama couldn't do it. I'm too stupid to do it. I don't have enough money to do it. That was God. Anybody with me? You have that thing you can hang your hat on and say, that was God. I have that thing. You want to know what it is? It's my wife. That is the one thing in my life. I look back over my history of destruction, mess ups, salvation, and I say, if God brought me this to put up with me, thick, thin, uphill, downhill, you name it, I say, that's from the Lord. And this morning, I'm going to ask my wife to come forward. She's going to be bringing the word to you this morning. I'm going to ask her to be up here with me as we're going to do a presentation to, I would like for all the women to please stand in this church this morning, because I have all the women, please stand. This is a day, let me tell you, this is a day that we would call Mother's Day, and we honor our mothers, but I believe God would have us honor all women. I want to read something to you. I'm actually going to invite all the women to come forward. We have a gift we want to give you, and as you come forward, I'm going to read something to you. Out of the Word of God, you can just make your way on down here to the altar area. We appreciate it. I appreciate you coming. I want to read this to you. This is Proverbs 31, and just so you know, it's not written for a mother, it's written for a woman. Let me just say this. Across this room this morning, do we have any great-grandmothers in here? I'm just wondering, are there any great-grandmothers in here this morning, this service? Well, we have grandmothers in here. We have aunts in here. We have mamas in here. We have women that may have never naturally birthed a child, but I promise you, you're a mother to someone. And I would say that God looks at you the same way he looks at any woman. So I would invite all the women to come forward this morning. And I want to speak this over your life before we hand you a gift. This is what the Word of God says. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Not every day. It doesn't say that happens every day, just so you know. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you have excelled them all. You're a daughter of God, and you have excelled them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. this morning, as we have a gift to hand each and every one of you, I'm going to ask our help to come on, and you're going to receive a gift, and I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to speak the word of God over your life today. Because this is what God's word says about the virtuous woman. It says that you shall be praised, and that you shall be called blessed. And this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know what your trials are. But here's what I want you to know. Today, I'm going to call you blessed. I'm going to call you blessed. You are a daughter of God. You are a woman of God. And today, you are a blessed woman. And I want you to know this without a shadow of a doubt. You may not ever hear it from a man's mouth. You may not get that affirmation. I don't know. I don't know what you may be struggling with in this room. But today, if it's just one day out of your year, you can receive the word of the Lord that says you are a blessed woman. You shall be praised. We honor you here at Life Point Church for all the work you've done. Whatever your life looks like, we honor you today. As a child of God, as a woman of God. And I'm going to say this. Because you're praised and because you're blessed today, this is what I'm going to say to you. Just got himself out of trouble is what he did. I'm going to say this, and we're going to pray. I'm going to believe with you, women of God, that the mountain's fixing to fall in your life. The mountain is going to fall in your life. How many are you ready? Child of God. Woman of God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, these are your daughters, the women that you've brought to this church, the mothers, grandmothers, aunts, best friends. And God, we set aside this time to honor. Your word says that we look at them and praise them and bless them. And God, I pray for everyone that's standing here this morning, whatever that mountain is in their life, whatever that thing is in their life that keeps them away, that they just can't seem to cross, that today is the day that your word comes true for them. And that mountain is removed out of their life. Lord, we honor you. We thank you for these women. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, give these women a big round of applause, man. Thank you so much. You can be seated this morning. At this time, I want to introduce to you, most of you have seen my wife by now. Maybe a few of you haven't. Let me just tell you. Thick and thin, ride or die, it don't matter. This is it. This is the one that God gave to me, and I am honored to introduce her this morning. And let me talk about mothers for just a moment. Three children. And this year, this Mother's Day, 2018, my wife celebrates the mother of five children. This year, in November, God gave her two children and said, here, be a mother again. And I just want to honor her this morning and tell her how much I love her and how proud I am of her. And we're coming. Get ready. But if you would, give a warm welcome to my wife, Sydney.
Amen. It's so good to be here. and to be able to speak this morning. I knew that my hubby would not be able to not try to preach. He just, that's him. And we are so blessed this morning that I know that for the past couple of months, my mom has been coming here. And what a blessing to have Aunt Jeannie and my mom be here. And, you know, I just want to honor my mom for a moment because she's here and because I love her. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mom, right? Because my mom prayed me in. My mom prayed me in. When I would be missing and crazy and my mom didn't know where I was or what I was doing or who I was with, my mom prayed me in. There were many nights that I would come home and find my mom on her knees praying for me. And I would tell her, just stop. And I'd yell at her, why are you praying? Don't pray for me. Leave me alone. But my mom never gave up. My mom is the one that when people would ask her, how is Sydney doing? She would say, oh, and I'm in the midst of my craziness, by the way. Drugs, crazy. She'd say, oh, she's so blessed. She's going to be a pastor. And I'd be like, she's crazy. Something's wrong with this woman. And she would always confess the truth and the word of God over my life, even when it was the most furthest thing from my life, even though I was in the midst of the craziness. So, Mom, I love you. We have just a little bit of flowers for you to let you know that you are so special to us, and we are so thankful for you, Mama, because you're a special lady who loves everybody. That's love my mom. That's one of the things that I learned of my mom is that she loved everybody. She still does. I can tell you that there were many days when we would wake up in our home and be like, Mom, who's the guy on the couch? Who's the girl in the backyard? You know, who's the lady that's sleeping in the other bedroom? Because my mom always had such a heart of compassion for people that were down and out. And I learned that from my mom. I grabbed that from my mom. There wasn't a person that would walk by that wasn't in need that my mom didn't help. And so I'm so thankful for all the different things that my mom has poured into me, how to be a hard worker. Man, my mom taught me how to work hard. That woman, she would work until she was bleeding. She taught me how to work hard. She taught me how to always see the best in people. And I'm so thankful for all the things that my mom taught me. However, I do know that Mother's Day can be a tough day for some of us, right? I can honestly tell you that I have been through all the joys and all the sorrows of motherhood. I know that I don't look that old to be able to have 5 children and to have been and walked through a lot of times of sorrow and pain, but I promise you in my young life that I have experienced all the joys and all the sorrows of motherhood. I know what it's like to pray for a child and miscarry. I know those sorrows. I know the going into the doctor's office and them telling you that you're no longer pregnant. I know those sorrows. I remember crying for days about it. But I also know that God has a way to bless you even in the midst of the sorrow. I had a miscarriage. it's funny. About 9 months before God brought me 2 boys. I said, I only wanted 1. You got me 2. No. And literally, I was due in July, and God gave me 2 boys that same year after I had a miscarriage. And so I know the joys. I know the sorrows. I know the times, moms, when your kids are so sick. You know, when our little Bailey was just 3 weeks old, she was so sick in the hospital for 2 weeks. I know the sorrow. I know the pain of mamas praying for their kids. And so I know that Mother's Day isn't always the most wonderful. I know that there are many ladies that are here that you've prayed for children. And that just isn't what has happened in your life. But I want to just say that my husband said something really profound, that you may not have birthed physically a child, but you have many children. Miss Barb, you have a lot of children, don't you? You have a lot of young ladies who love you and wouldn't be here today unless you had been in their life. Wow. And so this morning, I want to talk. It's not necessarily a Mother's Day message, because I know that there are some men in this room that they need to hear a word from the Lord too. Amen? Be nice to your wife. No. but I want to talk to you just for a few moments about extravagant worship. And there's a lady in the Bible. She's probably one of the most, my favorite characters in the Bible, because I feel like I can relate to her so very much. We're going to be in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and I'm going to read it. And it says, "It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him, but not during the Passover celebration. They agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. 'Why waste such expensive perfume?' they asked. 'It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, 'Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you that your word has the ability to change lives. And God, thank you that your word changed my life. And I pray this morning that we would just glean from your word, that we would not just be hearers only of your word, but that we would be doers thereof as well. We love you. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can almost miss her as you're reading through the Gospels. You can almost miss and fly right past this 6 or 7 verses as you're reading the Gospels. As a matter of fact, when I read this account, and when I get close to this woman, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know about you. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. As I look upon this woman pouring out her substance, as she poured out her heart, I was rattled with this question: have I ever done anything like this for Jesus? Rattled with the question, have I ever done anything like this for Jesus? Do I give my all and give my best to demonstrate my love for him? Have I ever evoked the criticism of others because of my extravagant worship of Jesus? Extravagant, by definition, means this: exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. Or, in other words, absurd. Extravagant means exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. Absurd. As I studied this passage and as I studied this woman's life and what's taking place in this portion of Scripture, I observed a few things that I just want to share with you this morning. Here's the first thing. the alabaster jar that this woman brought to break open and pour over Jesus was very expensive and very precious. As a matter of fact, they say that it was about 300 pence, which is about a year's salary back then. That's a lot of money. Can you understand why the disciples looked and thought, "Woman, something's wrong with you"? What this woman brought to Jesus was not just a meager little offering. What she brought was all. What she brought was everything that she had, and she was willing to pour it out extravagantly, absurdly, everything she had. It wasn't just a meager. It wasn't after you get your paycheck and you spend everything and then you say, "Oh, I've got a few dollars left. I guess I'll give that as my tithe or my offering this week." What this woman gave was not just a meager offering. It was everything. It was precious. It cost her something. It was expensive. And she broke it out and she poured it over our Lord, over Jesus. And I often would think of myself like this woman because I just know there's so many things that she had to go through to get to that moment. And I think, man, what would I do if I was ever in the presence of Jesus? Have I ever done anything like this for Jesus? Have you ever done anything like this for Jesus where it cost you something? It was expensive and precious to you. Have you ever done anything like this for Jesus? Can I tell you that We are really good at comparing ourselves to one another. And the thing about it is that this woman gave her all. And to somebody else, what she gave, a little jar of ointment or perfume, it may look meager to you, but to this woman, it was everything. And I want to just say this, that God doesn't call you and I to give in comparison to what other people give. Hello? He wants us to give our all, not what other people are giving, not keep up with the Joneses and look at what other people are doing and give according to that. He wants us to give our all. What does that look like, Mom and Dad? What does that look like, young person? Does it look like your time? Does it look like your finances? Whatever it is, God is asking you to give your all, but not in comparison to what somebody else gives. We're so good at that. As a matter of fact, there's a portion in Scripture, in Luke chapter 21, where there's a little widow. And Jesus is observing as people are coming in and giving of their offerings and their tithes, and everybody's giving. And this little widow woman, she comes in with two little mites. Two, for what you and I would think, are nothing. And Jesus responds to the people around that are naysayers and critical and judgmental, and he says to them, "Listen to me. You have given out of your abundance. But this woman, she gave everything. She gave out of her lack. She didn't have that. And so what she's done is far more sacrificial than you by giving out of your abundance." And that's how Jesus wants you and I to worship him extravagantly. You know what? I can worship him loud and song and sing and dance and shout because that's my personality. I'm an Italian New Yorker. I love it. I can dance with the best of them. I can shout. I can sing. But guess what? There are certain times and certain areas in my life that are a sacrifice to me when it comes to worship. There are certain times, and there's one thing that Pastor Robbie and I have decided in our life, that we're going to be generous, that we're going to be people who are generous when it comes to tithing and offering. There's no gray area. It's black and white for us. And I just want you to know that Jesus is looking for us to give our worship extravagantly, absurdly. And guess what? It leads me into my second point. Here's the thing. Here's what happened after this woman broke open this expensive jar. People criticized her for her worship. Everybody is around. Disciples, hey, guess what? Even people in church, church folk will criticize you for your worship. Hello? People don't know your life or your story. And when they see you worship, when they see your life, they don't know what you've been through. One of my favorite songs when I gave my heart to Jesus was CeCe Winans' Alabaster Jar. How many of you have heard that song? I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to just going to bless you like that. But it talks about how you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster jar. We do not have the liberty to be critical and judgmental of people that come in here and they shout and they dance and they sing and they're, and you think, oh my gosh, they're absurd. Can they just tone it down? Let me tell you a story. Pastor Robbie was in Teen Challenge in Alabama years ago. And there was a couple that used to come and do Teen Chapel for the men at Teen Challenge in Alabama. What was the name? The Tarvers. So the Tarvers, it was a husband and wife. And Robbie's new, he's Alabama, you know, new in Teen Challenge. He didn't even know Jesus. So he comes into this program and they're crazy. And Robbie's watching, and the Tarvers would come in once a month and do chapel. And they would holler and they would shout and they would scream and they would hoop and they'd run and they'd dance and they'd go crazy. And Robbie's like, what's wrong with these people? And he would always be very like, I can't handle these people. It's too much for me. Until Robbie found out the Tarver story. They were both in prison, husband and wife, for 10 years for murder. Falsely accused of murder, served 10 years, both of them. And then it was figured out that they were falsely accused and that they didn't commit the crime, and they were released. So I don't know about you, but if I had been through what the Tarvers had been through, you would see some shouting and a hooping and a hollering for me. And when Robbie heard their story, it changed the way he looked at them forever. Because here's the deal. You don't know the cost of somebody else's oil. You don't know what they have been through to get to that moment where they can break open that alabaster jar and extravagantly worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't know the cost of the oil. Have you ever done anything like that for Jesus? When I was in Bible college, I went to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and we had our Bible college president. His name was Dr. Lednecki, and he was awesome, but he was a staunch man. Like, he was very serious, and every single day in chapel service, he would stand up and he'd say, students, you're either going to worship God or you're going to be critical of those who do. What do you choose? For me, I choose to worship God because I know the depths and the pit of hell that he brought me out of. I know the cost of the oil that's in my alabaster jar. And so I choose to worship extravagantly. Let me tell you a couple of things about why people are critical of our worship, extravagant worship. Why? Because people will be critical because your worship makes them uncomfortable. They don't understand it. They don't get it. Man, I love to see when the Teen Challenge girls, I was one of them, trust me, I remember. But when they come in here and they're just, woo, you know, they're crazy. Well, you don't know. It's easy for us to look at people and say, why are they so crazy? Why don't they just be quiet? Why don't they tone it down a little bit? Why don't they? You don't know. People will be critical because you make them uncomfortable, because it makes us look at our own selves and say, why can't I be like that? Why can't I worship Jesus like that with such freedom and such excitement and extravagance? People will also be critical because they're jealous. They're jealous And we don't need to be people like that, do we? Comparison and jealousy. People will also be critical because they're not willing to make the sacrifices. It's funny because this morning I was reading my devotions, and it was in Samuel when David makes the statement. He's going to be buying some land, and one of the guys he went to said, "No, you just have it. Just have whatever you need." And David said this: "No, I will not give my God an offering that hasn't cost me something. I will not give to God an offering that hasn't cost me something." Does our worship cost us? There are so many times in my life that I have come into a place where I don't feel like I want to worship. I don't feel like I want to be here or I want to be there. My feelings would get me in a lot of trouble if I were to follow my feelings. Does your worship cost you something? Extravagant worship will cost us something. This woman had guts. She had the guts to pour it all out in spite of the criticism. The disciples criticized. The same people who walked with Jesus criticized the woman who worshiped. They walked with Jesus. If anybody, it should have been the ones pouring out the fragrant oil and the costly worship. It should have been the ones who were walking with him and saw the miracles that were with him all the time. But they were the ones criticizing the woman who worshiped. Don't be that one that criticizes. We have to, in our extravagant worship, we have to guard ourselves from allowing criticism and allowing those fearful spirits to come over us, because we will not worship God. Had anybody ever go to church before and you felt uncomfortable raising your hand or doing stuff that you normally do because nobody else is doing it, right? And so you tend to kind of dumb down your worship because of what else is going on around you. Don't be people like that. We have to constantly fight against those temptations to do what we see going on around us. Have you and I ever done anything like that for Jesus? Have you done something that has cost you so much? Here's the last thing that I want to remind us that I see through this portion of scripture, that Jesus will always come to the defense of extravagant worshipers. He will always come to the defense of extravagant worshipers. I was just talking to my brother over there a minute ago, that there are two things in scripture that the Lord says are his. Anybody know? He said, the tithe belongs to me. But he also said, vengeance is mine. Two things that the Lord said belong to him. The tithe and vengeance. And how many of you know that we like to take things into our own hands? But do you know that the battle that we're fighting is not something that we have to fight? That when we are extravagant worshipers, when we choose to be people, men and women of God who say, I don't care what I look like, I am choosing to be an extravagant worshiper, to be a worshiper who pours everything out on the Lord and gives my all, regardless of what other people are doing. When we do that, Jesus will always come to our defense. That woman that night, she did not have to explain herself. She did not have to turn around and tell the disciples, well, here's why I did what I was doing. I'm sorry that I broke open the very expensive bottle of perfume. She didn't have to do anything like that. Why? Because Jesus will always come to the defense of extravagant worshipers. He will always come to the defense. You don't have to fight those battles. He hushes the crowd. And the woman did not even have to defend her own self. Jesus put a stop to their mess. He tells the disciples, leave her alone. Because what she has done was a good work. What she has done is a good work. Although this woman was not aware of what she was doing, Jesus makes mention of the fact she is getting my life ready and preparing me for my death. According to this Old Testament scripture, that when a person was dying, was dead, anointing somebody with oil with their whole body was a part of the process. When a body was dead, they would do that. And this woman, she did not realize that what she would do, this extravagant act of worship, would be told for years and thousands of years every time the gospel message is preached. Mary, this woman, prepared our Jesus for his death and burial. She chose the good thing. Her act of worship will be told and remembered wherever the gospel is preached. Can I tell you this? Extravagant worship gets Jesus' attention. Do you know that? I think of blind Bartimaeus. And he comes through the town and he sees Jesus. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciple, all the people around say, shh, shh, you're too loud, you're too extravagant, you're too absurd. And the Bible says that blind Bartimaeus got louder and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Blind Bartimaeus understood. He understood that our extravagant worship gets Jesus' attention. Can I tell you that it may not make you popular with people, but I promise you it'll make you popular in heaven. Extravagant worship will make you popular where it matters. Where it matters. Have I ever done anything like this for Jesus? Have you and I ever done anything like this for Jesus? We have to be a people that give our all. We can't be a people that shy away from giving our all to Jesus, because guess what? In the culture and the time that we live, we are setting the standard for what the church is doing and what people are seeing about the church. We have to be a people that say, I'm going to love Jesus and I'm going to love him extravagantly, no matter what I look like, no matter who hates me, no matter how much it costs me. I'm going to worship Jesus extravagantly. Have I ever done anything like this for Jesus? Have you ever done anything like this for Jesus? It has to cost us something, guys. It has to cost. Sometimes it's our popularity. Sometimes it could be our family. It has to cost us something. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only. He gave it all. He gave everything for you and I. And he is our example. You and I have to give all. It's got to cost us something. And we can't worry about what other people think or say about us, that we've got to live extravagant lives for Jesus. Hey, look at here. I'm a football fan, and I can go crazy for my football team on Saturdays between September and December. But let me tell you, if I can't show my Jesus, who paid it all for me, this even greater worship, even greater extravagance, then we have a problem. Because guess what? Jesus will always take care of you. He will always fight your battle. He will always shut the mouths of those who criticize and are judgmental of your life and your extravagant worship. Moms, women, ladies, men, we have to be extravagant worshipers. We have to give Jesus our all. We have to give him everything. He's worthy. Amen. Why don't you stand this morning to your feet? I know that my husband said he wanted to come back, but I think I'm okay. What does this look like for you? What does it look like in your own life this morning? What does it look like for you and me? What is God asking you and I to do to sacrificially worship Him? And are we willing to pay the price for it? Are we willing to give it all? Because that's the kind of worshipers He's looking for. He's looking for worshipers, people who worship Him, not just in this building, but outside Monday through Saturday when it really costs you something to be a worshiper. Extravagant worship in this place. Here's the question. Have you and I ever done anything like this for Jesus? Have we ever done anything like this for Jesus? If you're in this room and you'd say, you know what, I have lived a lukewarm Christian life and I am tired of playing the game. I love Jesus, but I am so tired of having to be like a chameleon to fit in with this people and to fit in with that. I am tired of it, and I want to be a woman or a man of God who is on fire for the Lord, who loves Him extravagantly and is not afraid to break open my flask and pour it out on Jesus' feet, regardless of what people say. If you're in here this morning and that's you, I invite you just to come and spend a few moments in surrender to Jesus. Just in surrender. Say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to give you my all. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are a God who's jealous. Your word says that you will not share your affection with anybody. And God, right now I pray for those, God, that have just come into this place and just are ready to say, God, I want to give you my all. God, we love you. We thank you that we can worship you extravagantly.
Thank you.
lift up your name in this place, Lord. God, everybody in this room can testify that you made a way when there was no way, that you moved a mountain in our life. And God, we're going to believe today that there's still a mountain to be moved. And God, you're faithful. And we will worship you, Lord. We'll worship you with all that's in us, declaring the name of God among our family, among this community, among the place we work. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, church, this morning. God bless you today. Dads, take care of your wives, mamas, somebody. Do something nice. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back Wednesday night for our Bible study at 7 o'clock. Have a great day.